sir. Thank you. Amen. It's humbling to be a friend to a great man of God. I feel very honored tonight that he gave me an opportunity to come back here and share with you the word of God. Amen. And quickly, I have my dad, Apostle Dave, here with me tonight. Amen. Amen. Thank you. And I have my friend, my covenant brother, Brother David Paschel, who is here with us. Thank you for coming. And I have our missionary to Malawi, Sister Linda Kowi. She comes to the orphanage and stays months at a time. So she decided to come with us today. Thank you for coming. Praise God. Tonight, the Lord has given me a word to just be an encouragement to the church, be an encouragement to you. Like the pastor said and the praise leader said, there are things in our lives which sometimes we feel like we cannot make it. We feel like it's not possible we get to the other side. But for some reason, the Lord gave me the same word as we were singing and the same words on the board. The Lord gave me that word today. So I'm sure there's somebody who needs it. Turn with me, if you can, to the book of Matthew. Matthew chapter number 14, from verse number 22. In Africa, we read very many verses, but I'll try to be very brief. And straightway, Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Amen. This account of what happened with Jesus going on to the other side with the disciples was something that happened just after he had fed 5,000 men besides women and children. He performed the miracle of the food, and everybody ate to their full, and everybody was excited. And the Bible says while he was dismissing the multitude, he constrained his disciples to go to the other side. The next assignment was on the other side of the sea. And so Jesus said, "We have work. Let's say tomorrow. And I want you go ahead of me while I dismiss the multitude." And those people started off excited, full of revival. They've seen the greatest miracle of their lives. From the small fish, little fish, and bread, food multiplied that 5,000 men ate, besides women and men. And usually in a place, you discover that we have more women. If you have 10 men, there must be 15 or 20 women. And children will be even more than that. So I suppose maybe he fed 20,000 that day. Now, what really touches me about this verse is that Jesus could not tell the disciples what would happen between the other side and this side. He didn't tell them because he was not moved. He was not bothered. He knew there was going to be a storm, but somehow he wasn't troubled by it. He simply told them, go ahead of me. We have a mission on the other side. And how many of you know that when God speaks a word, that word will come to pass. It has the power to bring forth what God has said or decreed. God says in Isaiah that my word shall not return to me void without accomplishing the purpose for which I sent it. That's how infinite God's word is. When he speaks it out, it has creative ability. It will create what he speaks it to be. Now he says we're going to the other side of the lake or the sea. As far as heaven was concerned, that was going to happen. It was established that they were going to the other side. It doesn't matter what forces the devil sent against them. Jesus knew they were going to the other side. He said, go ahead of me. And after he had dismissed the crowd, he went alone to pray in the mountain. He was there throughout the night, and those guys were on their way to the other side. And as he was praying on the mountain, all of a sudden, around 4 o'clock in the morning, the Bible tells us there was a tempest on the sea. Contrary winds came against the disciples. And by the way, these are the people, as we read through the Gospels, to whom Jesus was going to leave the Great Commission. These were the people called for a very special destiny. They were carriers of the gospel to the ends of the earth. And had something happened to those disciples, you and me were not going to be here tonight. They were very integral in the plan of God for the enhancement of the gospel and the church. And this is the reason why the devil tried to capsize their boat. He wanted to do away with them because sometimes the devil can sniff and sense somebody's destiny. When you're going through some stuff, don't rush to get discouraged at times. Don't rush to give up. When you've prayed and seems God is not answering your prayer, and there are no indications of your answer, don't rush to backtrack. Don't quickly throw your arms up and say, Lord, I cannot make it. People with great destinies have great attacks. When you have a great destiny, there will always be tempest against your destiny. The devil will use anybody and anything to stop you, so you don't get to the other side. But good news tonight is that just as Jesus spoke to those disciples, we're going to the other side of the sea, and nothing was going to contradict the word of Jesus. Nothing was going to nullify the word of Jesus. He knew they were going to the other side. No matter what would happen to them, it was established in heaven they were going to the other side. It was established and the devil knew it. But because he's a creature that would try to stop you, especially when we have no knowledge of what God can do in our lives, he brings discouragement. He brings fear. Sometimes he even reminds you of the things you've done in the past, just to make you ineffective. He'll remind you of the drugs you took at one point. I remember I was holding a crusade in one part of my country, and so many people gave their lives to Christ. Early in the morning, this young man came to me. He was from another country, from Tanzania, which is our neighboring country. Around 5 o'clock, he knocked on my door, and he had a question. He couldn't sleep at night. He said, you know, I'm one of those that gave their lives to Christ yesterday. But preacher, are you telling me that God might have forgiven me of the murder we committed in my country in a group of friends? We killed a person, and that has tormented me. Do you mean God would forgive even that? I really didn't know what to answer that young man. I said, young man, there are no big sins to God, and there are no small sins to God. Every sin is sin. And when God forgives, He forgives it all. He doesn't have a small diary where He can remember your past. No, none of your past will go through God's mind. He's a forgiving God. So sometimes, when the devil senses your great destiny, he'll remind you of the past. He'll remind you of the mistakes you've made. But I've come to encourage you today. Jesus says to you, no matter what you're going through, and no matter what's happening in your life, some of you, your lives are at crossroad, and you don't know what's going to happen to you. Jesus says to you, in spite of it all, you are going to the other side. Are you listening to me? And I want you to take this word as word from God for you. Let it be an encouragement to your life. Let this word of God set you back on track. As you go home, tell the devil, I'm getting there. I'm going to the other side. Whatever dream God has put in my heart, whatever I've been dreaming for and praying for, that thing is coming to pass even in a bigger way than I've been thinking. Bigger than what I've conceived all this time. Because Jesus, who is in you, and the Bible says greater is He in you than the one in the world, than the one who is trying to stop you. Jesus says, guys, go ahead of me because we're going to the other side. We're going to the other side. I remember the same word of Jesus. When after His resurrection, He went by the Sea of Galilee and found those guys, the fishermen, Peter and his friend. They had tried to catch fish the whole night, and they never caught fish. And Jesus says, little children, do you have any fish with you? And Peter, at that time, they didn't know it was Jesus, said, we've not caught anything. We've toiled the whole night to no avail. And Jesus spoke a word and said, cast your nets to the right. The right side of the boat. And they cast those nets. The moment they cast those nets, the word of Jesus brought fish into the nets. And the fishermen caught very big fish and many fish. The word of Jesus is enough to take us through to the other side. Hallelujah. The word of Jesus is enough to take us through to the other side. It doesn't matter. He will take us through. He will take us over. And whatever destiny we have in God, that one is coming to pass. You may feel like you are being very small in what you believe God is going to do in your life. You may feel like it's not happening. But I tell you today, Jesus says, we're getting to the other side of the sea. Amen. Amen. We're getting to the other side of the sea. And I've also come to encourage you today. There are times in our walk with God when we can feel God, some goosebumps of the revival or the anointing on our lives. When you pray, you right away feel God is here. You can feel Him and maybe even pray in tongues at times. And when they ask you, you tell them, I'm feeling the presence of God. Wonderful for that. But there are also times when heaven sounds and feels dry. When you pray and cry to God, sometimes you've even fasted, but looks like you cannot feel any of God's presence. Whatever times you are in, whether you feel like God is there or you feel like God is not there, I've come to tell you today, He is an abiding friend. He's always there with you. He knows your name. He knows what you're going through. He knows the pain of your heart. He knows everything, and He knows where He's taking you to. He knows everything. Here, as they were going to the other side, these guys, Jesus was on the mountain. For as long as they were safe, He was still there. Up until things went haywire. Contrary winds came to those people. He knew their fears. He knew what they were going through. And immediately, Jesus did something which had never done before. He had never walked on water to those disciples. They'd been on water many times, but never did Jesus ever walk on water. Up until this night, when the winds were so contrary, and the devil said, I've got them. I'm going to capsize their boat, and they're all going to perish, and the world will never hear the gospel. He was able to sense where these people were going. Hallelujah. Listen to me. The devil may not know everything about you, but he can sniff your destiny. He can sense what's about to happen if you persist in God. If you continue believing God, the devil knows what God, something great is going to happen. So he'll try to capsize your boat like these people. And the moment their boat was almost about to sink, Jesus shows up. The moment they were about to lose hope, Jesus shows up, and His showing up was not normal. He came walking on water. Now, these people have two problems. Number one problem, contrary winds coming against them. Number two, they are seeing a figure walk on water, which they had never seen before. It was Jesus. That word right there encouraged me. I said, okay, Lord, so whenever I'm troubled, whenever it looks like my vision is sinking, whenever it looks like I'll not make it, whenever it looks like it's all over and there's darkness all around me, Lord Jesus, You will show up. You will show up. Some of you, Jesus will come to you walking on water. He will come to you in an abnormal way. He knows what you're going through. He knows some of you are at the very edge of your life, of your ministry, of your family. You are at the very edge. You are on the edge. Jesus is going to show up. There's a miracle coming your way, and it's just around the corner. He's about to do it. There's a 10 around. Somebody said 10 around. Come on, speak like you have life. Turn around. Hallelujah. Turn around. Sometimes in the things of God, we behave like children when we try to believe God. Because no need to shout. I mean, I came to church. I just have to listen. But I tell you, God, we want you to do some things that look stupid. But they're not stupid. That's where your victory is. If you can shout three times, turn around, turn around, turn around, your situation will begin to turn around. Hallelujah! I want somebody to shout, turn around. Don't listen to the devil. Shout, turn around. Here, turn around. Hallelujah! Even if you were sick, or the devil put a disease in your body where they said there's no cure. If you believe in the word of Jesus, we're going to the other side of the river. If you believe there's going to be a turnaround, you will not speak your fears. You will not speak of how you're going to drown.
You speak of a turnaround. You thank God and say, Lord, I thank you tonight. I am turning around. Amen. Amen. Oh, this is one reason I like preaching in Africa. They preach with you. It's only in America when you preach, people just look at you and just nod their heads. And those who are kind enough will say a little bit of amen. But I tell you in the name of Jesus, turnaround is turnaround everywhere. God is causing a turn of events in your life. Number one, he is bound to his own word. When he says, we're going to the other side, that word binds Jesus to keep you, to protect you, to fight your battles until you get to the other side. Amen. He came walking on water. And they were afraid. They were dying from the contrary winds. And secondly, they said, now, bigger problem. There's a ghost walking on water coming towards us. Ooh. Now their eyes looked at the ghost and looked at the contrary winds. And Jesus knew their fears. He said, fear not. If you're going to have a turnaround, fear not. He said, I am he. I am not a ghost. I am he. And they recognized his voice. They knew it was Jesus somehow. He was so confident. He had no sense of fear. He didn't care if there was food on the mountain or not. The little food he said, everybody shall eat. He had no sense of lack. He was not afraid. Even when everybody else picked up stones about to kill him, he walked amidst them and they couldn't touch him. That was Jesus. Physically, he's not here. Spiritually, Jesus is here. Church, begin to believe in his presence. Believe in his word. There's a turnaround coming in the name of Jesus. There's a turnaround in your life coming. We are getting there. Whatever God has promised you, no devil steal it. You get it and you get to the other side. Because he has spoken. When he called me into the ministry, I was a little boy locked up in some district. Mr. Pashel and Papa, you've been there. Nobody knew me in the next district. But the Lord showed me in a vision, nations, that I was going to preach to the nations. I didn't even have any money to take me to the next district. It's not money. Money is not a calling. Money follows a calling. It's not knowing people on the other side. The calling will bring people in your life. So I didn't know how I was going to get there. But he spoke to me. And true to his word, he started to take me step by step by step and by step. Now I believe in everything he says in his word. If he says you're going to the other side, you're going to the other side. It's time to rise up and believe him. It's time to take him at his word. You cannot die here. You are crossing over. There's a turnaround. Put it at the backside of your mind. Turn around. You may forget everything I've said today, tonight. But remember, there's a turn around in your life. Jesus gets there, says, be of good cheer. I mean, how can you be of good cheer in chilling moments? The situation is not good. How do we be of good cheer? I'm sure he was their cheer. He was their answer. He was their victory. Jesus said, on this rock, I'll build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He is our rock. He is our foundation in these troubled moments. We are going through troubled moments, America. And I don't need to interpret that to you. I've been watching your news, and there are all kinds of things happening in this country. Troubled moments. And the devil is doing that deliberately to paralyze the church, to make us think the devil's taken over. He hasn't. Whatever you're going through is just a bend on the road, in the road. When you look and there's a bend ahead, many times you may think that's the end of the road. But to walk up to the bend, you realize the road continues. This is not the end. When we hear people have been killed, when you hear there are racial issues, when we hear there are all kinds of stuff happening in this country, don't get paralyzed. In this very situation, God says to you, be of good cheer. And when God is bringing a turnaround, it's not only in your life. He's also looking at the entire nation. God is not done with America yet. Are you hearing me? It's not all over. The door of mercy and grace is not closed. That's why I don't like it when preachers stand up to doom their own country. I don't like it. You don't doom your own country. You don't speak negatively of your country. You don't promote judgment. God is going to judge this country because of the many bad things that have happened. Let me tell you, read the word correctly. We are going to the other side. And the Bible says, today is not the day of judgment. Today is the day of salvation. It's a day of salvation. This is the day when the church needs to seek God for an answer. In fact, I've been saying in other churches, whatever's been happening is a wake-up call to the church of God. Because the church in America, by and large, has been sleeping. Don't throw stones at me. The church has been sleeping. Maybe because of the comfort in the country. Comfort. God has really blessed you, people. Even the poorest of the poor is better off than the people we have in Africa. I've seen people down Rochester being fed in town, and they have meals which we don't eat back home. And they call them homeless. You don't realize how blessed you are. You are so blessed and spoiled at the same time. You don't appreciate what God has done for you. And the church has been sleeping. Church has been in a slumber, some kind of a slumber. There's no real commitment to God. We come to church and we are easily offended. And a little thing offends you. I'm not coming back. The way Pastor Marty said what he said, I didn't like it. You know, he hurt my feelings. Or Mama Pastor hurt my feelings. And that's just a sign of lukewarmness. The church has been lukewarm. The church has been sleeping. Don't just pick up an offense. Sometimes look at where this couple has taken you from to where you are today. They miss one point, the whole thing is thrown out of the window. They didn't say it right. They didn't sleeping. But trouble now is waking up the church. Wake up and pray for your country, because God still has plans for this nation. I have high respect for America. And I say it from the bottom of my heart. I have high respect for this country. I pray for this nation for so many reasons. This is a single nation that has helped the continents of the world. In a big way. Wherever there's trouble, this country is going to help. Build schools, build hospitals, send missionaries, build orphanages, supporting missionaries all over the world. This is one single nation that has stood with Israel in prayer, trusting God for the change of events in Israel. And God says, whosoever blesses Israel, I will bless. Don't just look at the few negatives. Don't just look at the contrary winds. This country, God owes a lot to this country. There's a lot. It's not over yet. Revival is hitting the land again. There's going to be another move of God like you've never seen. Amen. Amen. Another move of God is coming. That's why the devil is attacking this church, this country. He knows when revival breaks out, you'll send more missionaries. Many churches will come up again. Even if so many have been closed down, but they are coming up again. God has a plan. We are going to the other side of the sea. We are going. Pastor, we are going to the other side. I want everybody here, believe it, we are going to the other side of the sea. Come what may. It doesn't matter how many witches are trying to resist the church. We are still going to the other side. If you believe it, shout amen. Amen. To the other side. Hallelujah. Number two, God has allowed this situation to happen in your country to stir up the nations, the heathens, the outsiders, to run to a place of worship and seek prayer and seek help. I was in the house of one wonderful police officer last week. And that police officer told me something that staggered me. He said, you know, Bishop, in this country, so many policemen are born again, even in our very department. He said, they are getting born again, and they are born again. Oh, that touched me. That got to me. The people had nothing to do with God previously. We will now tend to God because anything can happen to their lives. So they'll seek God in a big way. God wanted to melt the hearts of men and women to begin to recognize God, to begin to honor God, to repent and tend to God. So there's God's purpose in everything that he does. But the truth of the matter is that we are going to the other side. In the name of Jesus, we are going to the other side. We are getting there. And the devil knows it. Church is not a wimp. Church is not something without a backbone. Church is a strong, powerful army of the Lord. Learn to believe God and get ready to get to the other side. Thank you, Jesus. Do you believe you're going to the other side? Huh? We are going there. If God was able to deliver Israel from the house of bondage, and because God really wanted men to deliver them, he even parted the sea to make sure his people were on the other side. He's a God of the other side. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. He's a God of the morning. He's a God of the other side. He's taking you there. And every negative thing happening is a stepping stone to where you're going. Have a positive mind like that. Jesus comes close to them. He said, fear not, I am he. And everybody was still between faith and doubt. I like the spirit of Peter. Peter said, Lord, if you be the one, bid me to come. Jesus said, come. And Peter did not tried to see if he could walk on water. He just jumped out of the boat and started walking. This journey is a journey for the determined. It's a journey for the faith, people full of faith. It's a journey for the people with vision. They are not drawn away by whatever. They follow the vision. This is the journey for those people who can dare walk on water. Somebody needs to walk on water today. Somebody needs to say, Jesus, I believe you and I am healed. I believe you, my marriage is healed. It will not fall apart. I walk on water. My vision looked like it was dying, but Lord, I'm getting there. That is a leap of faith. Walk on water. Become extraordinary with the extraordinary Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Become extraordinary. Do something that will make people around you afraid. Have you ever been there? Why you believe in God for this and everybody says, hey. This is your lonely journey, brother. Can you go? That's where you need to be. God has never worked things with the people seated. God has always worked with people that jump off the boat and begin the journey that terrifies everybody, sometimes including their own thinking. The devil said, do you really think this will happen? Well, it's by faith. I'm walking on water. Peter walked on water. I've seen preachers who preach, oh, that good story of Peter. They'll only take one part where he sank. To tell everybody, don't dare walk, you'll sink. That's a lie of the devil. You will not sink. The only reason that began to sink Peter was because he took his eyes off Jesus. For as long as you fix your eyes on Jesus, you ever walk on water. Hallelujah. It will be miracle after miracle after miracle. The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. When you fix your eyes on Jesus, you will walk on your water of life. Whatever's going on in your life, he will lift you up above your circumstance. He will lift you up above your fears. He will lift you up. In Africa was a lady who was believing God. All the time she prayed. All the time she prayed. Lord, give me a child. All the time she prayed. Later on, she read from the word of God. Whatsoever things you desire, believe you receive them and you shall have them. What did she do? She didn't continue praying and crying and weeping. She said, I've got it. I have got it. I'm not going to weep anymore. I'll begin to thank God. I've got my child. She was so crazy in her faith. And after a few months, she went to the doctor and said, I'm pregnant. Can you x-ray me? I want to start the, I don't know what you call it, women. And the doctor said, are you crazy? There's nothing in you. She said, you are crazy. Because I've got a baby. She went home and said, Lord, I thank you. 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, she went back. The doctor x-rayed her again. And there was a 5-month baby in her womb. You may not believe it because you haven't seen it. But she had 5 months, baby. God is a God of faith. Without faith, we cannot please God. There is some water in your life. Don't look at the trouble on the sea. Look to Jesus Christ. He's saying to you tonight, I am He. I am here with you. Your problem is my problem. I'll carry it and I'll give you my peace. I'll give you my solution. I'll give you my victory. And Jesus is the same today. Take the challenge of walking on water. Even if Peter sank a little bit, We all sink in one way or another. But he said, Jesus, save me. And just put him up. And they walked side by side back to the boat. And they got into the boat. The wind was still there. Jesus spoke to the wind. Peace, be still. And the wind went, the wind went all. Everything went quiet. And those same men who had walked with Jesus began to nudge each other. What manner of man is this man? I pray from tonight, you ask the same question. What manner of man is Jesus? It may be all dark. It may be dark in your life. It may be dark in your working place. It may be dark in this country. But I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, the God of heaven, the God of the Bible, has greater plans than the plans of the devil for your life, for your nation, for your leadership, for your everything. God has the answer on his table. Dare believe him. Dare trust him. We are getting to the other side of the river. I want everybody to stand to your feet, please. Thank you, Jesus. You do well to drop your burden right here. You do well to drop your fears. You do well to say, Jesus, I trust you. I believe I will not die now, I'll live to declare the great works of God. Here's a man who was dying of cancer. I wish we had all the time he was going to tell you. And God touched him, two or three years ago. I was preaching in their church and God touched him. When he went back to the doctor said, seems something wrong with my machine. Come back after a couple of weeks. And he went back. The levels were going down. And he's completely well up to today. What is impossible with man shall be possible with God. What is your situation? What is your trauma? Some of you may not have given your life to Jesus. You cannot get to the other side until Jesus becomes Lord and Savior of your life. If you're that person, you want Jesus to come into your heart, may you leave your seat and come to the front so I can pray with you. Tonight is a night of salvation. God loves you the way you are, the same way you are. He loves you in your very situation. Surrender your life tonight and he'll take you to the other side. Anybody? Come quickly in the name of Jesus. If you feel you are okay and saved, but you have a problem which has been chewing you and eating you slowly, tonight Jesus is here. He's the one to carry you to the other side. I want to believe God with you. He's able. You put your hand into his scarred hand and he'll do it for you. If you are there and the same preacher, agree with me in prayer. I've started off on water. Walk to the front and we'll pray with you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. I want us to pray. Your faith will lift you up above the shadows. Whatever the devil has done to you, have violent faith. Tell him my problem is over in the name of Jesus. I'm getting to the other side.
The devil wanted to kill you. God will give you life and life in abundance. Pastors, can you stand with me? Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, I give you praise for these precious people. The people you paid the price for. You died the awful death of the cross. Shameful death. The Bible says the chastisement of our peace was laid upon you. And by your stripes we were healed. Your word is true and you are true, Lord. I right now take authority against the power of darkness, against the spirits of infirmity in the bodies of these people. I rebuke you, Satan. I command you to leave in the name of Jesus. I command every power of darkness to go in the name of Jesus. Whatever it is, I release the omnipotent power of God to touch, to heal, to bless in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Brother David, can you stand behind her? The power of God is all over here. Father God, I thank you. 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 I thank you in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Rico Katana. Yes, Lord, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I speak peace. I speak the peace of God. Peace be still in your situation in the name of Jesus. I speak healing. I speak miracles in these boys in the name of Jesus. Lord, touch them. Show them your power from tonight. Whatever is impossible shall be possible with you. Thank you, Jesus. I bless this family in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Father God, in Jesus' name, I release your power. Yes, let your life flow through this body. Now, in the name of Jesus. And work the impossibilities. In Jesus' name, I release the miracle power of God. Rito shata rabababababa. Rikoto robo shata rabababababa. Hindo robo shikiri abasaka. In the name of Jesus, I speak a miracle into your life. Right now. Right now. Right now in the name of Jesus. By the power of God, I speak the impossibilities to happen in your life. In Jesus' name, we give you praise. Father God, I bless your name. I honor you for my brother. Whatever is wrong in his legs, in his body now, Father, I pray in Jesus' name you fix it for him. I pray, my God, heal him. Heal his body. Let him walk normally in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father. I bless your name. I thank you, Father. Lord Jesus, I give you praise. By faith, oh God, it's done right now. Thank you, Father. Do you ever walk without this? Sometimes. I want you. Do you believe God has touched you? Yes, he has touched you. I want you just step out by faith. The people God heals are people just like you. You walk with me. Come with me. The people God has touched are just people like you in the name of Jesus. Our God is real. As you've stepped out like this, a miracle has happened in your legs. In Jesus' name, he made you without a walker. He made you whole when he made you. And I speak life into your legs. Let every nerve come up alive in the name of Jesus. From this night, begin to walk in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. What was happening with your legs every day? Okay. I believe God has touched you. He has healed so many people with arthritis in the world. And claim your miracle. It is done in Jesus' name. And every day, make some steps without your walker.
you'll come back to normal. In Jesus' name, God bless you. Thank you, Lord.
Praise the Lord. Let's pray together tonight. You know, I'm going to close in a minute, but I'm going to pray. But if you, I sense this, if you need God to help you in the area of believing Him, having faith in Him, I'm going to close in prayer, not going to do anything, but I just so believe in that action of stepping out. And I just sensed the Lord when I came up here tonight that before I left, before we dismissed, if that's you, just want you to come stand here in front of me. I'll pray for you. Bishop Samuel, pray for you as well. I'm going to pray. I'm going to close in prayer, but I still sense the Lord is doing some beautiful things here right now. So, God, I just want to thank you. If the Lord is speaking to you, I want you to come and stand in front of me. We're going to be done here in just a moment. God, I want to thank you for this night. I want to thank you, Lord, for your hand upon this house and sending your servant at this time, Lord, for purpose and the plan that you have. God, you're revealing not only to us as a church, but God, you've used them to speak into our culture, into our country tonight. And Lord, we receive that. We believe you, God, for that. And Lord, we will be vessels that you can use. I pray tonight that everyone here, Lord, that we will receive what we have heard by faith and begin to live it and begin to do what you said we couldn't, or what you said we could, but what the enemy has told us, we're not good enough, we can't do it, we're not equipped enough. God, I pray tonight for that one who is struggling with that, that you would release them to be everything that you have called and created them to be. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Come on, and everybody said amen. 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 Hey, hug somebody, shake their hand on the way out tonight. If you want prayer, you come down before you leave.